Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. YouTube feed is 94WIP. Check it out there as the Phillies go to Texas, a place that had been a house of horrors for them for years. And they sweep the Texas Rangers straight out of their building. The Phillies are now 19 games over 500 and 5.5 up on the absolutely reeling New York Mets, who are in a bad way right now. And the Phillies have a chance to continue to open up major space between them and the Mets before they play each other later this month in this division. So it was a great weekend. I mean, they get well-pitched games out of Sanchez, out of Lizardo. They get timely hitting. The outfield platoons are working. Rob Thompson has got his finger on the pulse of this. And Kepler in for Castellanos on Saturday night against DeGrom was a really fascinating move because it now opens up the potential, in my mind, that the Phillies will go platoons in left and right and play Bader in center. Great catch yesterday. But if there is a but to this weekend, of course, it is the performance and really the way he looked, the visual of Zach Wheeler yesterday, his stuff. The performance was okay. It wasn't bad. Now, Bader caught a home run over the wall. I mean, he took a home run back that could have made the performance worse than it was. But in total yesterday, 5 innings, 3 hits, 2 runs, 3 walks, 7 Ks, and a home run out of Zach Wheeler yesterday. Not his best, not his worst. And a start you could live with, as clearly he's not himself. And after the game, he said he was fine. He didn't think the shoulder soreness was a part of yesterday. I don't buy it. We're going to find out today. And Topper did say the real telltale will be today and how he wakes up, how he feels today. We'll see if we get any news out of the Phillies. But here's the reality. If you missed yesterday or you out and about and really weren't watching, or if you just saw or heard some of it, the reality of what happened yesterday was Zach Wheeler did not look himself. Okay, so I'm going to give you yesterday's four-seam fastball average. It was 94.2. On the season, he averages 96.2. So his fastball was down 2 miles per hour on average. His two-seamer, 95.5. Yesterday, it averaged 93. So the two-seamer usually averaged 95.5. Yesterday, on 93. The cutter, 91.9 on average. Yesterday averaged 90.1. So the sinker was down 2.5 miles an hour. The four-seamer down 2.4 miles an hour. The cutter down about 1.8 miles an hour. And the home run he gave up to Jock Peterson was on a cutter that was 89.4 over the plate. The splitter, which was actually very effective yesterday, 87.3 is the average. He threw it 85.1 yesterday. The sweeper, 83.9. Yesterday, 82.1. The curve at 81.2. And yesterday, 79.9. So across the board, in every single category, he was down. Every single category, he was down yesterday compared to where he usually is. And I discussed on Friday, you know, should the Phillies move to a six-man rotation? Is it time? And I think there's two clear options here for the Phillies as Aaron Nola works his way back. Number one is they could go to a six-man rotation. If Zach Wheeler continues to insist that he is fine, but his stuff is not there, give him a little bit of extra time in between starts to recover. I think it would help Suarez. I think it would help Lizardo. I think it could help Sanchez in the long run. I just think it would be good for business for the Phillies to go to a six-man rotation. And they now have this cushion in the NL East that if they drop a couple Taiwan starts that wouldn't have existed before, let's say Taiwan Walker makes 3 or 4 starts and those didn't exist before, whatever. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. You have a 5.5-game cushion on the New York Mets. It's not like it's a 1 or 2 or you're down 1 or 2 where every single game is so, so critical. So there's a little bit of a cushion. The other option, and this is one that I would now do, is I would shut Zach Wheeler down. I would shut him down. Now, it's complicated a little bit because he's saying he's fine. And to tell a player that who says he's fine that it's time for a 2-week rest is not easy. But I think it's the right thing to do. Look, the Dodgers have done this for years. It's part of the advantage of having all this starting pitching depth. It's why you accumulate this, not just because you're going to have injuries, but because the idea really is that you have the ability – to give guys rest when they need rest. And right now, it's pretty clear to me that Zach Wheeler needs rest. He just doesn't look like the guy he did earlier this season. And I know Topper's pointed out that this downturn really started around the complete game he threw in early July. I'm going to go look up his numbers since the complete game just so we have a feel of where it is. But if I remember correct, there was the one hitter against the Reds on that Sunday. I think that's the day I left for vacation when I was going to Washington State. I'm actually wearing my Olympic National Park shirt here, a sweatshirt. That's when I went out for my vacation. I remember watching that game on the plane. Well, I think I was listening. I was listening on the plane. I watched the one on the way back, but I was listening on the plane to Zach Wheeler throw his complete game one hitter against the Reds to give them that series. And if I recall, I'm going to pull it up right now. If I recall, it wasn't an egregious amount of pitches. He gave up the home run early in the game, and that was about it in terms of any sort of threat by the Reds. He was brilliant in that baseball game. But if I recall, I mean, it was nine innings, and it was, I'm sure, taxing. But, yeah, he threw that day 108 pitches. It is tied for his season high in pitches. He got to 108 also against the Athletics in six innings on May 23rd. What's interesting is his next start was also not good after the 108. I wonder if that's like a magic number now. But then after that, he reeled off greatness for a while. So let's just look at... So he threw the complete game against the Reds on July 6th, Sunday, July 6th. Nine innings, one hit, one just the home run, 12 strikeouts, no walks, just brilliant kind of stuff. So then his next start was at San Diego on that Saturday night before the All-Star break. And he didn't pitch well, six innings, four runs. Then he came out with a little extra rest 9 days later against the Red Sox, six innings. He had a 10 strikeout, no walk. The velocity was down a little bit, two runs. Then the four runs against the Yankees with three hits batsmen. Then the four runs, three earned against the Tigers. And now here we are against the Rangers. So we are looking at, since the complete game against the Cincinnati Reds on July 6th, he has pitched to a 4.71 ERA and allowed seven home runs in 28 and two-thirds innings. That is an enormous, enormous amount of home runs. Now, the strikeout to walk is still very good. If you include the hit batsmen, which is five of them now, the strikeout to walk takes a little bit of a hit. You know, right now it's still a almost a 7-1 strikeout to walk, 6+1. You throw the hits batsman in, and it becomes like a 4-1 strikeout to walk. It's not as sterling. So his command clearly has been a little different, but he's still getting good swing and miss. I mean, 41 strikeouts in 28 and two-thirds is a good amount of strikeouts. I mean, it's a very high number. So, you know, he has pitched reasonably okay since the complete game. Not such a disaster, but what really stands out to me is the home runs. And I think what that is, and you saw it yesterday with Jock Peterson and the home run that almost went out where Bader saved it, is he's just at that velocity. I mean, guys could and I think it's pretty obvious, and Wheeler's smart enough and has good enough pinpoint command and control most of the time that I think if this is what he becomes in the next two or three years, in the last few years of his career, he could survive as still a number two or a number three, even in his decline, if we see that before he retires, if this becomes an extended period thing, because he can still get swing and miss on the splitter, and he's still got an enormous just a range of pitches. He'll work his way through the pitcher he needs to be if we get there. But why it's a problem right now is because of the fastball and the velocity, and when they hit it, it's going to go. So the Phillies have to make a decision here, and I know they want to, I'm sure they want to, give Zach Wheeler the benefit of the doubt. He is a vet. He is one of the best in the game. He's a Cy Young candidate. I'm sure he wants to win the National League Cy Young. You know, I think when you think about the National League Cy Young and what it could be and Zach Wheeler and Paul Skenes, the reality for me is this. Wheeler's probably not going to win the award. He probably won't win it. He probably won't take it over Skenes, who's just a remarkable pitcher who, even though he doesn't get any wins, he really does almost every time only allow one or two runs. And his ERA for his career is, I think, under two. I'm looking right now at the awards here. And you have National League Cy Young, Skeens is minus 650, Wheeler at 5-1. Now, part of that could be yesterday, the reality of what happened yesterday. Also think that Skeens could just be pulling away here. And if he doesn't get shut down and the season or anything like that, I do think there's going to be a real, I would say it this way, there's a great chance Paul Skeens wins a Cy Young. So I think, and I hope, Wheeler doesn't have that as a huge part of his head, in his head, and what he's thinking. All that being said, that can't be part of it. It has to be the idea in October and how to get ready for October. And you go back to 2022 with Zach Wheeler, and he did have a forearm elbow thing that was concerning. He wasn't pitching his best, and the Phillies shut him down and put him on the injured list, you know, around this time of the year in 2022, and they were able to ramp him back up, and he was able to post in October. Now, was he really, really his best in October that year? Probably not. I thought he was good. I thought he gutted through some things. I thought at times he was better than other starts. But I did think the next year is when the legend of Zach Wheeler really started to take hold in 2023 and what he did and all the great games he had. But he was able to make it work. I'm going to pull up his 2022 postseason and just give you a glimpse of this is after a shutdown, after him not being at his best. So he pitched game one against the Cardinals, went 6 1/3, 2 hits, no earned runs. He pitched the game number 2 in Atlanta where the Phillies could have went up 2-0. And then, you know, they had Hoskins drop the ball at first base and all that. 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 4 hits. Not dominant, okay? Then he went to then he pitched a pair of really big games in the World Series, NLCS. 7 innings, 1 hit, 8 strikeouts, 1 walk. Game one in San Diego. Boom. Game five against San Diego? Yeah, it was game five against San Diego. The game to send the Phillies to the World Series. Of course, he wasn't on the mound at that point at the end. But 6 innings, 2 runs, 3 hits, very good. 8 strikeouts, no walk. So in the NLCS, he went 13 innings, 2 runs, 16 strikeouts, and a walk. He was very good. World Series, certainly a little more hittable. 5 innings in game one, or game two, excuse me. 5 innings, and he gave up the 5 runs, 4 earned. Not great. And then we know he was pulled out of the game for Alvarado, 5 1/3. The World Series, I never felt in the playoffs, in the first round or the World Series, that he was his best, but he gutted through it. And then 2023, I felt he was dominant. And then 2024, you know, he was dominant in that game one before they took him out of the game. Here's what I know about Zach Wheeler. If they could get him healthy, he's going to perform. If they can make sure he's feeling his best in October, he's going to perform. I mean, the guy in his career now has pitched, he has started 12 games in the postseason, or at least come into 12 games, because he had the one where he came out of the bullpen in game number 7 against Arizona. In 12 postseason games, the guy has a 2.18 earned run average. The most runs he has ever given up, earned runs, in a playoff game is 4. And that happened one time. His earned runs at playoff games, 0, 3, 0, 2, 4, 2, 1, 2, 2, 1, 0, 0. He really has leveled up in the last 2 years, 2023, 2024. The Miami game, Atlanta, Arizona, game 7, Arizona, the Mets. He's leveled up. He has been a phenomenal postseason performer, but we got to keep him healthy. We got to get him there. Guy's got a 2.72 FIP in the postseason. It's just insanity what he's able to do. You got to get him healthy for the postseason. Shutting him down needs to be on the table. Give him the 10-day IL stint. See if his shoulder responds. Get him the treatment. Get him rest. And make sure he's ready to go for October. And if he refuses that, there is at least a 6-man rotation option on the table. But am I worried? Am I concerned? Yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, I don't know how you can't be. As good as the Phillies are playing right now, they need this guy. They need this guy in a significant way to be in a significant way in the postseason. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Our YouTube feed is 94 WIP. Check it out there. We got a lot to talk about today. We will talk about the Phils, the Wheeler situation, Topper's managing right now. Of course, the Eagles opened practice last night, and the Landon Dickerson injury, how serious. When we get word about that MRI, we will talk about that live on the Midday Show. Be tuned in 6A to 6P on YouTube. Thanks so much for watching and listening. This has been WIP Daily.